Good morning, Pathways. Can I confess something to you this morning? Can I give you the tea? I am weary. You know, with the COVID vaccines making their way through our communities, we felt like, you know, things would loosen up and the recommendations around distancing and masking and all of those things, that we could cautiously move back to a place of normalcy, whatever that means. But now with the variants of the virus on the rise again, it's frustrating. I'm frustrated. Feels like we're take one step forward, two steps back. And I think some of us, including me at times, are not rushing to return to how things were, return to all of the things that we did pre-pandemic. And it has made me, and perhaps you, rethink about how and why we gather. For 18 months now, we have endured endless Zoom calls and workshops. We have seen our loved ones lonely in hospital rooms. I've attended more virtual funerals than I care to talk about. There have been job losses. There has been intense political tension, to say the least. There has been relentless debate over pandemic procedures and whose fault is what, and this, that, and a third. Here at Pathways, as well as across the country, as we have tried to make our way back through the sanctuary doors, we come with the weight of trauma. We come with divisions that have built up over the past year that we've spent apart. And now we have to try to figure out when we will return, if we will return, and if it's even worth trying to rebuild. This morning, I would like to talk about one of the second lies that we believe. And it's the lie that says, I love God, but I don't need the church. How do we, and I say we because this is our problem. I'm going to share with you some of the things that keep me and Pastor Eddie and Pastor Jonathan up at night. Our immediate challenge is, how do we get people to see church as a community? A place that requires its all of our involvement, not just mine, not just the place team, all of us. How do we convince people that it's not something that you just come on Sunday morning and consume? And frankly, that was a problem before COVID even hit. You know, the deep sense of rooted community that most of us experienced in the local church has become more transactional over time. You know, at one time, a person who was considered a regular attendee of church went to church about 3 or 4 times a month. Some of us were there whenever the doors were open, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, Wednesday dinners, choir practice, all of those things. Our communities were built around church, but that's become less and less and less. In the past year and a half, it's really changed even more in terms of how, not only how we've met, but it's changed our hearts and minds toward church. As Christ's followers, we can't afford to revert back to doing things the way that we've always known them, because our society, particularly our young people, have found that this year of recess or disruption or whatever you want to call it has changed their perspective on what the role of the church even is and if it's relevant. There is a gap. There is a gap between the church and our society. I suppose it's always existed, but now it's been exacerbated. It's even larger. You know, what makes this particular point in history a bit different than other crises that we have faced in the past is that through every war, every disaster, every crisis, the church was always able to come together and find solace in each other and in prayer and gather together. But we haven't had that. People have had to face this country's compounding problems and racial tensions alone. People have faced strained marriages. Kids have been home for the past year and a half. One of the big terms that they're talking about now within the education community is called resocializing. We're going to have to resocialize our kids because they've been home for a year and a half now. And if you're talking about an elementary school kid, I mean, you're talking about something that could have been as much as half or a third or a fourth of their life they've been at home. They have to be resocialized. It feels like struggle on top of struggle. Mental health issues. Adults, young adults, worried about paying student loans and how are they going to get established in terms of their careers and things like that. And the racial trauma that we've experienced. And the church's silence. So, is this a time where we should continue to shy away from each other? Or is this an opportunity for the church to live up to the ideals and the vision that was cast before us by our Lord in Christ Jesus? What his life and death and suffering represented. So for the next couple of minutes, we're going to talk about why it's important to go to church. In a way, I feel like I'm kind of beating up on the choir here because you all are here, and I don't want you to feel like that. And I don't want anyone to feel who is at home and has health struggles and are susceptible. Please hear me. I'm not trying to make anybody feel beaten up or disenfranchised. But what I am saying is that we as a church and as a body need to really rethink this moment. And we as a community need to be able to move forward and give the reason for the hope that we have. We need to be able to give an account for why it is what we do. And we need to be able to speak truth in love to our friends and our families and to the world. So, let's go over 7 quick reasons why it is important to be in church, to go to church. Now, I understand there's an old joke, you know, you can sit, you know, sitting in church doesn't make you a Christian, and is in the same way that sitting in a garage doesn't make you a car. But you have a better chance of experiencing the life transformation and community that is available to you here in person. So, what are some of the reasons why it's important to go to church? I think the biggest reason why it's important to go to church and why God ordained it such that we do gather together on a regular basis is so that your heart will not be hardened by sin. Hebrews 3, 12 through 13 says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be any evil in you, an unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." The church is one of God's primary means to keep you from being hardened by sin. And what I think that means, I'm not saying that if you don't go to church, you're going to all of a sudden start robbing people, or, you know, you're going to go out and start carjacking and things like that. That's not what that means. And I want to be careful about how I explain this. We live in a day and age where we can cultivate our own truth. We live in a day and age where we can cultivate our own music. We have Spotify, we have our podcast, we have all of these things. So we can basically live inside of our own heads, our own bubbles, and we can find all of the things that agree with us. We don't have to listen to anything counter if we don't want to. So how is that? What's that have to do with being in church? Okay, so in the past year and a half, we have lived in isolation. A lot of us have been living inside of our heads. We, you know, hear the same things, and you ruminate, and you think, and you think, and you begin to develop your own perspective. And just because you keep thinking a thought doesn't necessarily make it true. We go to church so we can hear the truth. We go to church because we believe God's word is true. We go to church because we believe that God has given us his instruction and his manual for life, and we come here to study it together. The Bible was not written for individuals, although it is very important for individuals to study their Bible. I am the discipleship pastor. I am up here. I have never missed a time where I didn't say you needed to study your Bible. But the Bible was not written for the church of Paula or the church of Jonathan or the church of Eddie or Lisa or Michaela or Billy Jim Bob or whoever else. It was written to the church of Ephesus, the church of Corinth, the church in Galatia, a group of people who were all different, from all different backgrounds, Jews, Gentiles, black, white, free, slave, men, women, to all come together and wrestle with the truth of God's word, because guess what? It's not easy. It's impossible to do it by yourself. We go to church so that we're not going to be selfish. We go to church so we're not living in our own heads. We go to church so we can open up our eyes to look around to see what is going on in the life and in the hearts of other people and intersecting with that as best as we can. The second reason why we go to church is because it was God's idea. It was God's idea. It wasn't ours. This is not a man-made construct. It was God's idea from the beginning. The most important reason for God's people to attend church is because God said he was going to build his church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against us. The church is the hope of the world. And I believe that. And the Bible is clear from the narratives in Acts that we heard our sister Sonia read this morning, through the epistles of Paul and Peter, James and John, that God's work in the world today is being completed through his church. One only has to review the words God uses to describe the church to get a glimpse of how important it is to him. He calls us his bride. We are the household of God, the body of Christ, God's building. The church was God's plan. And it's something that has to be a top priority in believers' lives. You know, make no mistake, family, we are in a battle. We have an enemy. And we have an enemy that would love to see the church destroyed. He has gleefully watched as we have been divided and separated for this past year. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult to love those who are different than ourselves. It is difficult to build bridges instead of walls. But the world knows us by how we love each other. And that is what God wanted. And that is how it was designed. Another reason why it's important to be in church is because God's word instructs us to be involved. Do not forsake the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some. God wants his people to be actively involved in church from the accounts of Acts and the first church in Jerusalem to the seven churches of Revelations. It's obvious that the Bible teaches the importance of the local church. You know, here's a fun fact. There are 30 specific churches that are mentioned in the Bible. The next reason why it's important for God's people to be in church is so that we can grow together spiritually. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babes, you should long for the pure milk of God's word so it will help you grow up as believers. The focal point of the local church is to hear the preached word. Now, I'm going to go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room for those online and those here. It is a fact that you can probably get better preaching and worship online. There are tons of preachers out there. I listen to them too. There's Hillsong and there's Andy Stanley, whoever you listen to. There is some great teaching out there. And I will say to you that part of my responsibility and part of Pastor Jonathan and Pastor Eddie's responsibility is to continue to hone our skills to be better communicators. But hey, I'm not Andy Stanley. Okay, but let me explain something to you too. When you get sick, or you have problems at home, Andy Stanley and Hillsong ain't gonna come to your house, but I will, okay? So I'm what you got, all right? Thank you. Thank you. Another reason why the church is important is that we are an avenue to utilize our spiritual gifts. And that's really an important reason. Oh, the body of Christ. The hand says, I don't need the eye. The foot says, I don't need the elbow. It's just not possible. We were not given gifts to entertain ourselves or to make money. Now, if you can make money with your spiritual gift, Pastor Paul is never mad at you as long as you're tithing on it. But we are given spiritual gifts so that we can come together as a unit, as a community, to encourage each other, minister to a lost and hurting world. The body needs all the parts. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever stubbed your big toe? When you stub your big toe, your whole body reacts to that. You will lurch forward, a tear will come out of your eye, you may say something that you wouldn't say in front of Pastor Eddie, you will buckle, because the toe is a part of the entire body. Somebody takes your big toe, you will not walk well, okay? If Eric's not here playing his guitar on Sunday morning for us, I don't experience the fullness of God. If Jonathan is not here to tell his lame jokes, if Kath isn't up there throwing up the words so that we can sing, if John and Vera aren't doing their small group, if Tom's not here with his trumpet, if Chris doesn't bring us food along with John, hi Chris, we're not who we're supposed to be. We don't experience the fullness of God and all that He has for us when you're not here, when you're not using your gifts, when you're not participating. We fall short. We go to church because we have to, I love that little sketch. We go to church because we have to live out the reality of who we are. And boy, that's not easy to do. We are called to be holy. We are called to be royal priests. We are called to be a holy nation. I don't know how to do that by myself. I don't think we're called to do that by ourselves. Because if you look at those words, you are a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Those words imply community, race, nation. I can only be who I am called to be in Christ when I'm with you and you're reminding me of who I am and I'm reminding you and loving you of who you are. And when I get frustrated and I don't want to do this anymore and you can say to me, hey, look, you know, suck it up. You got to do this. This is what you're called to do. And when you say, I'm tired, and I'm like, I know, come lay, rest, but then you got to get back out there and fight. We are a royal nation. We are a holy priesthood. And we are called to keep each other accountable in that way. As a team. The other thing that I want you to take away from that reality is that to not be a part of church, in a way, is rejecting your identity. Your identity is in Christ. You are made new. The old has passed away when you've become a believer. And when God saved you, when he saved me, he made us different. He took us out of isolation. He took us out of the dark and put us into the light. And now we are part of this whole new group. So to reject that or to walk away from that or to isolate yourself from that is rejecting your identity and rejecting who you are in Christ. You can't brush that off. You belong to Christ. That means you belong to me. I belong to you. We belong together. And that's a thing to rejoice about. I mean, yeah, we make each other mad, I mean, and all of that. Families fight, families disagree. The more you love, the easier it is to hurt. Because I know your pressure points, you know mine. That's a part of being a family. Seventh reason you go to church is to get equipped. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body. You go to church so that you can be equipped. You are to be mentoring someone while someone is mentoring you. It is so hard out here. It is so hard out here. And you have to come to church on a Sunday morning and look at me and I look at you and we give each other a hug and we say, okay, what happened? And we encourage each other and we love one each other and then we send each other back out into the world. And then we come back here and we fortify ourselves so that we can do it again. And we keep doing it and we keep doing it until Jesus comes back or he takes us home. And I know some days it would be easier for Jesus to just come or take us home, but he has chosen not to do that as of yet. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I can get equipped at home. I got a Bible. I can read it. Well, yes, you can. You could also go on Google and do your own surgery because they show all of that on TV and everywhere else too. But the word says he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints. Pastor Eddie's been thinking about this stuff for a long time. He's old. No, just and he's been equipped, and he stands approved before God and man. You want people who have walked the road in front of you. You want people who have wrestled and have become learned in these things, and you want to sit together and reason together. That is why we come together, to be equipped and to encourage each other. So, those are the main reasons why it is important to go to church. But I guess the last reason, and this one is kind of corny and people say it, but it really is true. We're going to be together for all eternity. Surprise! We're going to be together for all eternity. And God has given us the church so that we can begin this human experiment of loving and affirming and appreciating and being together now. And while you may prefer your own company, you may prefer to be alone, guess what? You're going to be seeing me for a long time, so hey. God has put us together, and He knows best. And He's put us together so that we can live counterculturally, that we can be an example, that we can be His hands and feet to a lost and hurting world. That was His plan. So let's lean into it and do what we need to do together. Pray with me. Father, Your word is true. You are good. You love us. You loved us first. And You have a plan that even though we are looking through the glass darkly right now and cannot see all that it is that You have for us, we trust You. Father, we are grateful that You have given us a place where we can come and remind each other and remind ourselves of Your promises. Father, help us to not grow weary. Help us to grow and be strong and to be warriors. Help us together as Your church make a difference in this world. And we'll be grateful. And the people of God said, Amen.